back to the Urban Vibe podcast. I am Vic, and we are here today talking about public safety with some of our public safety officers, as well as the dean.
Okay, I'm Ben Ramirez, and I am a security supervisor with DMACC. I actually work for Securitas, and as contracted here, so I supervise Urban Campus, West, and Southridge.
Hi, I'm Bill Latour. I serve DMACC as our Vice President of Operations. Included in that are all of our facilities, also our public safety, risk management, IT, anything to do with operations here at the college.
And I'm Abby Zegers. I'm the Executive Dean of Regional Operations. So I oversee operations at Urban West and then to extent Southridge, EKD, and Capital Center.
Those are some important jobs. I feel like students, if they are listening, they're listening for a couple reasons. They are just trying to figure out what they can do and what you guys are doing to support them in case of anything happening. So the first thing I like to think about when I think about the people protecting me is the experience they have within those situations. So when it comes to experience, what does that look like for you?
Talking about the experience in the situations?
Or just in general, like in your job, in your role, because you take a big...
I think here at Urban, we have a real close relationship with the students. You know, I think, to be able to do my job, I need that. You know, so in that community environment, I think, we kind of work together for a safe environment. They teach us, we follow them, we hear them, you know, they hear us. Yeah, and we work together on that.
That is really good to hear. What about you?
Yeah, so my role here at the college is very multifaceted now. I oversee a lot of different activities. I think it's important to know my previous role at an institution that I came from in Illinois for 22 and a half years. I had a similar role in as Dean of Operations, but I also served as our campus police chief and was our risk manager there. So had a previous career in city municipal law enforcement as well as a police officer. So moving from municipal law enforcement to campus law enforcement and serving that long, I've got a lot of experience in how to at least try to keep people safe, following directions and on the right path and provide a little bit of a experience here to our public safety department where I can.
You've done quite a big job. That's quite a lot of different branching things. Expansive. And then how do you come with experience to the table?
So I've been with DMACC as an adjunct since 2011, but my career at that time, I was in corrections. And so I was a counselor in the mental health unit at the women's prison in Mitchellville for about 5 years, and then I moved over to actually oversee educational programs through DMACC at the men's prison in Newton. So I've got about 8 years in corrections prior to being full-time with DMACC.
So everybody knows what they're talking about, it seems. Nobody's lacking any perspective in this. If there ever is a situation, we have the people we need to respond.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah, definitely.
And then other than being face-to-face, Ben, with the community every day, is there anything else we do is there anything else DMACC does to foster a safe community for students? Because you do a big job just talking to people and people knowing who you are and feeling comfortable around.
Yeah, I think DMACC does in my experiences, from where I come from, DMACC does an excellent job. And I think, you know, they stand out above a lot of other places, whether educational institutions or any type of institution. They stand out in that they do work hard to make sure that the students feel safe in a lot of different ways, you know, not only physically safe, but emotionally safe. And I think that here at DMACC especially, security is not considered contractors. You know, we're considered part of the family. And so we're able to work with the students in that way and help to continue to foster what DMACC already puts out in words, you know, we help to put out in actions. And I see that not only just with my security personnel, but I also see that in the faculty and the staff that I contact every day.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I do know that we have quite a few different resources that we have able to, we are able to access. And that was a part of the reason I stayed here instead of transferring early, was the amount of resources.
Oh, from my perspective, in terms of what we provide to the students, faculty, staff, any visitors here, yes, we have contract security. We contract with Securitas for those services. Ben's right, you know, that there is a crossover there between, you know, contracted service and them being part of the DMAC family. I think people can go to the officers here, you know, with questions, concerns, and feel confident that they're going to be able to handle those things in a professional manner. We do provide security now at all of our locations. That's something that we had tried to do the last few years, is make sure that we have at least an officer presence at all of our locations. Urban and Ankeny being obviously our two largest campuses, probably have the most services in terms of public safety with officers on our first, second, and third shifts, so that we have, you know, 24-hour coverage. So having those security patrols, being visible, being accessible, I think are all things that are important for our students to see. We've invested a lot in technology and continue to do that with video surveillance systems, access control systems. We're not all the way there yet, but we're continuing to improve in those areas to provide some physical security as well. And then there are the other things that you know, kind of go on in the background in terms of drills and exercises, that things that are planned there. All of our public safety teams are also trained first responders. They can respond in case of medical emergency or, you know, vehicle accidents or any type of incidents like that. You know, we'll talk here in a minute a little bit about how students can help in that process, and there it is a relationship that's kind of a little bit of a give and take there on how we can help train students, staff, and faculty to you know, participate in their own safety as well. The one thing that I guess I would say, and this has always been a little mantra of mine, is it's not only important for people to be safe while they're here, it's important for them to feel safe, because we might be able to say, oh yeah, we provide a safe environment, but if they don't feel that way, it's not true. So we want to go the extra step, go the extra mile to make sure that they feel that way as well. Perception certainly is reality.
Yeah, I do think that is very important, because if you are scared or anxious, I think it's going to leach into other things. Like, you won't do as well either in your assignments or maybe even showing up to class if you don't feel confident that you are fine to show up to class. So that is very great to hear. I didn't know our security was 24/7. That's pretty extensive.
Not at all locations, but we do have three shifts here at Urban and at Ankeny.
That is very cool. I know a lot of the smaller schools, there are gaps of time, so that's very, very fortunate for us to have.
I guess I would wrap up that question by just kind of reminding people of the other kind of supports that we do offer. You know, one of the things I know is not everybody loves it, but is your ID badges. You know, not every student has one. You're not required to have one at DMAC, but it is a benefit, right? It's how we keep the campus safe. It's easy to identify a student versus maybe a community member. Those are things that we always try to encourage. And then I would just love for students to know about the level of communication that goes on. I think we do a really good job here at Urban at communicating with students if there is an event, if there is something that we want them to be aware of, in getting that communication out timely. And we will continue to do that, because making sure that they are aware and not in the dark and be very transparent is something that we strive for.
Yes, that is very, very important. So just like you were saying, how can students help to create a safe environment for themselves?
Sure. I think it's important to have that relationship back and forth. They need to feel comfortable in who they can go to, whether that's a member of our public safety team, a member of the staff, or a faculty member, or administration, anybody here. If there's an issue or anything that's concerning them at all, we want them to feel confident that they have somebody that they can go to and talk to. Believe strongly in the see something, say something, you know, sort of a cliche anymore, but that's very true. If a student sees something that's suspicious, anything that they believe maybe is a little bit out of the ordinary, we strongly encourage them to report that to someone. Many times the bystander effect can come into play where they think, oh, I'm not going to worry about it. Probably somebody else will say something. We would rather hear something three or four times than not at all. So we encourage students to do that. In terms of taking care of themselves and their own safety as well, locking their vehicles when they're on campus, you know, making sure that they don't leave their property unattended. Don't leave your book bag laying around, you know, if you're not going to be keeping an eye on it. If there are valuables that you have, lock them in your car. There's no sense in carrying that stuff around if it's not necessary. Just being situationally aware of your surroundings as well. If you're, you know, been at the urban campus or one of our other campuses for some period of time, you probably know your way around a little bit, but it's important for you to know where your emergency exits are. If there was some type of an emergency, whether that be a tornado or a fire or even an active threat of violence of some kind, we want students to know, you know, where they are, where they can go to be safe, how they can get out of the building the fastest way, and so forth. A couple other things that they can do. We have an InformaCast application here, which is our mass notification system. We use that for any type of notifications, most frequently for weather closings and that kind of thing. But in an emergency, that would be the system that we would use. Students should download that app, make sure that it's on their phone and that they're logged in so that they can receive those notifications. And then programming in their personal cell phones the number for public safety. That way they don't have to look it up. They don't have to go find a sign or something like that to get the number, but to be actually have that number maybe on speed dial in their phone. And then our officers provide safety escorts. So if they're feeling a little unsafe, you know, moving from building to building for any reason whatsoever, again, that goes back to the feeling safe in addition to being safe. But if they want an officer to maybe walk them from their building to the car or vice versa, we encourage them to contact public safety to do that. We're you know, very much would appreciate the opportunity to serve them in that way. And then in addition to that, if you're going to be moving about on campus, why not travel in packs? You know, walk with a friend from your class to campus, especially at night, after hours, those kind of things. Just do the little extra things that you can do to make yourself safe.
Yeah, there is a lot of opportunities for students to have a little bit of a hand in their own safety. So that is very good to hear. And the amount of resources is very high. Anybody else want to add anything about student safety?
I would just add for the officers that, for students to be observant while they're at school in the parking lots, most of our complaints originate with students. You know, they report something to us, and so they have to be willing to report that. So not only, like Bill was saying, you know, see something, say something, you know, but we need them to look around. And if something looks odd to them, that's what we're there for, to go check it out. And if it turns out to be nothing, it's nothing. They have to be willing to do the reports. There are places they can actually even file a report online at the public safety website, on the DMEC website. And they can file their own report in there about something that's occurred or something they want somebody to know about if they don't want to come to an officer. So I think, you know, being willing to report, being observant, and then, you know, kind of know how to report, you know, to be able to give us the details that we need so that we can respond and react to some of these things. They're helping us to actually do our jobs at that point.
Yeah, I would add to that too. We created a more user-friendly website for making a report. Actually, that's what it's called, Make a Report. And you can just log into the DMEC system and type that into the search bar, and that will pop up, and it tells you for the various different types of incidents that occur how to make a report online. And you can do that anonymously as well. So if a student feels like, I don't really want to get involved in this, but somebody needs to know about this, they can make a report anonymously, and it'll still be taken seriously, the same as if they were to have left their name.
And that's a good resource for anybody to have. If anything did happen, either a nonviolent or a violent threat that we would have to have a big response to, how do you want students to react to that aren't involved in the situation?
Certainly if you're a student not involved in the situation, if that means you're not on campus at the time or something like that, the first thing I would say is don't come to campus. Stay away. There will be, as I mentioned before, with our InformaCast system, if we have any type of an emergency situation occurring on campus, and that could be many different types of things, right? It doesn't have to be an active threat of violence or an active shooter situation. Could be some type of a power outage. Could be a hazardous materials incident of some kind. Could be any reason that we wouldn't want you to come to campus to be around the emergency. We would put that information out. We'd probably be closing the campus or a section of the campus and letting people know that. I think sometimes people are interested. You know, if you see red lights and sirens going on a lot, sometimes people want to go to that scene and see what's happening. We would encourage the opposite. Make sure that you stay away if that were the case. In terms of students involved, you know, in an incident, faculty, staff, and students, if there was any type of emergency that's occurring on campus, number one, follow directions, right? So we'll put out the InformaCast messages. Our public safety team, probably law enforcement, at depending upon the situation, will be showing up to campus. They'll be giving direction, making sure that people are, following those directions and evacuating the building if necessary. We can get into a little bit more if you like about, what is the response, what is the appropriate response for an active violence situation. If there was a situation where somebody heard a shot fired or something like that, what would be the appropriate response? But I can let Ben chime in a little bit on his perspective on those things, and then if you want to talk a little bit more about that, we certainly can.
So I agree with everything that Bill's saying, and I think that, the student involvement, student non-involvement, the less people that we have to deal with, it helps us. You know, whether there's something going on campus or not, if we have to deal with a large crowd of people, that kind of overwhelms what resources we have. I think, importantly, though, if we're talking about an active threat where it's on campus, it's involving students, we can formulate plans, but we can only have so many plans because the incidents vary so much. So we have to be careful when we're talking about those that it only aligns, with what they see in front of them. So to me, it's early detection. We're talking about the students being willing to report. If they see something and they're just not sure, they should tell us. And so the sooner we detect a threat, the quicker we can respond to it. If we can't detect it very early, we get caught flat-footed. So then we're kind of responding in a panic. So there's got to be an immediate involvement of the police. The students have to know that if they see someone with a gun or they see something that's an active threat, they can call 911. We want them to call 911. That alerts so many different parts of the system in response, that we'll hear that, our dispatcher picks those up, and then they in turn tells us so we can start responding. So if they can early detect it, if they can respond with a 911 call, that just sets it off for everybody, and we have the right people coming. The security forces here have a limited authority. Their ability to actually grab people only can involve a force that's taken place and they're trying to stop it. Otherwise, they can't initiate force. They have to wait for it to occur. So at that point, our concern, our priority is the safety of the students. So we're trying to evacuate people out of there. The students, staff, faculty, we're trying to get them all out of the building, and we're going to get as many of them out of there as we possibly can. And so we're trying to place ourselves between that threat and those people in our community. So if they can get the police involved and the police respond to the threat, that's quicker that we can resolve that threat. But in the meantime, that's what we're trying to do, try to get them to evacuate. There is a system that comes out at the federal level. It's called Run, Hide, Fight. And I think I've seen that presented many times, and I think it's a very effective means to respond to those kinds of situations. I'm not going to go through them all because it's a course all by itself. Mm-hmm. But the idea, you can run or you can hide or you can stand and fight. The fight comes only at the last possible thing that you can do. You have nothing left. It's your last resort. So the security has that responsibility to remove people from it. And so that way, if the early detection takes place and then the law enforcement is called, we can right away start evacuating people. And that's where they help us by not coming on the campus or at some point making their own decision to just get off the campus. So we will engage people if we have to, but it has to be a situation where we have no other option. That we have to get between that threat and the safety of the people in our community here. And so that's the only time that we would do it. We don't expect students to do that unless the only thing they have left to do is fight. We see that as kind of our responsibility, but at the same time, you know, being at the same level of authority, you know, as a regular citizen, then we respond with the students. So if they're engaged, then we will be engaged. And then after that all takes place, then we start working down kind of on a calm down period, trying to settle the situation, find out what's going on, what the police want from us. At that point, we respond to what they're trying to do. So they actually take over any active threat. When the police are on the campus, they're the ones who are in charge of that threat now. And so we respond to support them in as many ways as we can. That's getting the names of students. The students have seen something, they observed it. We want names of the students, and we want what they saw, because we're going to then turn them over to the police so that they can talk to the police about those things.
Absolutely. So the biggest things for students to really remember is to use your resources with making a report. Be very honest about it. Say something, see something, say something. Mm-hmm. And then after that, if there is something going on, leave.
Yeah, and I would actually switch those around.
I would
put that last one first. You know,
okay.
Safety is the ultimate goal that we want.
Absolutely.
You know, so before they actually stop to make a report, we want them out of the way of harm. And so do that first. And whatever that takes, that's what we want. And then we can start collecting information from them, you know, as the scene ends or calms down.
All right. And I think that does make a lot of sense. I think that most people would hope they would be in a position or be able to just leave. So I think that's kind of what everybody wants to do for the most part. What would it look like, though? So if people just started showing up, and I'm in the back of this building, and something's going on downstairs, obviously I'm trying to get out the other side. But how do I know that it's over there? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what would it actually look like if something were to happen? The police show up, they take over. What do students need to remember to do except just evacuating? Is there any tips or tricks?
Yeah, as the part of the run, hide, fight, they're instructed to follow the commands of the police.
You know, absolutely.
Don't present yourself as a threat to the police, ever. You know, and so when they show up and they're doing those things, you know, surrender to them, you know, so that they know you're not a threat. They will give instructions. They will tell you what to do. The expectation by law enforcement in a scenario like that is that most of us in the building will know what we're doing.
Okay.
So they're going to take over, you know, and they're going to give us commands. And even the security forces, they will give us commands, you know, what they want from us. And that's what we do. We respond to that. So if it's happened on the other side, you know, we kind of rely on your ability to determine where the threat is. You know, if we're coming through the building, then we're just going to be pushing everybody away from it anyway. We're going to tell you which way to run.
Okay.
You know, on that part,
okay.
Then you just listen to our instructions.
I think I would follow up on that. And Ben's right. Run, hide, fight is now the sort of the universal response to any type of active violence. And I use active violence because it doesn't have to be an active shooter. It doesn't have to be somebody with a gun necessarily. It could be anybody on campus actively involved in any type of violence whatsoever, where we want to get people away from that scene. So run, hide, and fight. Three words, very easy to remember. Ben's right. There is a training program on that. There's short videos you can YouTube and watch on run, hide, fight. But the main thing, I think, for anyone involved in a situation like that is to just from the beginning, if you hear or see or are made aware of anything that you think is a potential danger, don't waste time. Those first couple minutes where people are maybe thinking, oh, was that a gunshot or was that a car backfiring or was that something different? I'm not sure. Maybe I should wait, check it out. Those minutes that go by are precious, and it's better to just go ahead. Get out of the building as fast as you can. If it turns out that it wasn't anything, no big deal. We want people to react very quickly to that. The other part of that, the next word, right, hide. So if you feel like, oh, that definitely was a gunshot, or that bad guy or whoever it is that is you know, intent on doing something at this point is right down the hall, or I can see them from where my location is, the next thing would be is to hide out. And that it's a very fluid situation, right? So it's wherever possible. If you can get into an office or a classroom and lock the door, shut off the lights, make it look like the room is vacant, That's what the hide part of that means. And then you're going to probably be in that location for a while until law enforcement come around, clear the building, let you know that it's safe. The last part of that, which is the thing that nobody ever wants to have to deal with, right, is fight. And that's if you're face-to-face with somebody who's actively intent on doing harm to you. And then that's your own personal decision at that point, right? You can either surrender, which we don't recommend, or you can fight back. And that's your option at that point. That is absolutely the last resort. We don't want people to be in that situation, which is why we want them to take that precaution early, okay? Get out of the building, evacuate. Your own situational awareness, knowing where the exits are. If you're in a classroom or the library or the cafe or wherever it is, you know, you should just kind of know, okay, the exit's right over there if something were to happen right now. The other thing that we can ask anyone to do in these situations, and something that I've used in my trainings throughout the years, is to teach people to ask the what if questions, okay? And that's not to get people scared or make them paranoid. It's just to make them aware and be ready and be ready to act. So what if today at this point something were to happen where I heard a gunshot down the hall? What would I do? If you've got that mental preparation and you have at least thought about that or considered the possibility that that could happen before, you'll be much further ahead in what to do when it actually happens. If you never even think about the possibility or you never ask those what if questions, that's when you're going to tend to freeze, maybe get, not quite understand what you should do, and those precious minutes are going to waste away. So those are just some things that people can do to help themselves out as well.
I think that's a long list of things people can actively use, and I think they appreciate the tips and tricks. So I feel like this is a really big, like, I'm coming at you with a very broad subject. Like you said, it doesn't always have to be a gun. It doesn't always have to be a knife. And I think that a lot of people just have their minds focused on those more extreme ones because we see it very often around the country. There's been a couple of, you know, high schools here in Iowa that have had problems. So I think people are just kind of nervous. I'm hoping that after they listen to the response and know that you guys have so much experience and know that there's plans and that you do have a relationship with DMPD, at least here is Ankeny PD.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that at least makes me feel better. And I know that DMPD specifically takes big threats of violence like that very, very seriously as well. Because I also do this from a, right now I'm a student with you guys, but I am a parent of six-year-olds at an elementary level. Mm-hmm. So I kind of get it from both sides, if that makes sense. It's a twofer situation.
Yeah, and I think the other part of this too is just that back and forth relationship between students, staff, faculty, mm-hmm. being willing to say something. A lot of these active violence situations, that they can be prevented because somebody either had an early warning, there was some indicator beforehand that something might occur, and somebody later on said, oh gosh, I wish I would have maybe warned somebody about that, or maybe if I'd have said something that could have been prevented. We'd much rather know about that, and Ben talked about that. Let's get those threats out of the way. Tell us about it ahead of time so that we can deal with them in advance. If there's a student or somebody that we know of that's going through something in their life or whatever that could potentially lead them to act out in a violent way, and that's known to someone, why wouldn't they go ahead and report that to somebody so that we can either get that student some help, intervene first, and avoid the violent situation altogether? That's the important part. Many, many of these cases, as you said, throughout the country, people can look back and say, yeah, there were warning signs there, and we didn't do anything about it. We would much rather have somebody say something about it.
Yeah, and not a lot of bad comes from untrue reports. I don't want to call them false reports. If you think there is something going on and you're not 100% sure, like they keep saying, just report it, because nothing bad happens if you're wrong. If you're wrong, then life just goes on. They go back to what they were doing before you made that report. But if you are correct, the outcome of that situation is 100 times worse than what happens if you are wrong. I think I've covered most of my questions. Do you guys have anything else that maybe I missed, or maybe you just want to tell students?
I'd just like to add on to what Bill was saying about the what if. I think one of the bigger problems that we have is not so much, I mean, we do have a problem with the escalated violence in the educational arena throughout the country, but I think one of the things that happens during that time is that we say, well, we're here, so it won't happen. You know, and I would never want to put anybody into a false fear, you know, but we always have to keep that vigilance, you know, to understand that it could happen here, you know, and once we understand it, then everybody kind of thinks about it, like Bo was saying, you know, keep that on your mind, you know, keep that mindset that, you know, I'm watching out for these things and that's what I'm trying to prevent. So that gives us that early detection. But we don't have early detection when people are complacent, you know, when they think there's no risk or they think it could never happen here.
The last thing I would, I guess, point out and offer to students, staff, faculty, anybody at any of our campus locations is if they have questions about what about me in my own individual space. Okay, I'm in this office and I'm not really sure what I would do or how I would get out or where I should hide or how I should do that. Reach out to us because we can have an officer come by, talk about them in their own individual situation and any concerns that they have. If a faculty member wanted one of our officers to come by and speak to their class about any training opportunities or just some of these topics, answer any questions that they have, we would offer that as well. So if there's a situation where somebody just isn't quite sure, or they listen to this and they're like, yeah, but I still have a few more questions, go ahead and reach out to one of our officers and ask, and we'd be more than happy to share more information.
I would just end on encouraging students to, I know we've said it a million times, but if you see something, say something, obviously. But we do a really good job here at communicating with each other. Security and administration, we work very closely together. And so I invite students to be a part of those conversations. And if you have a question, if you have a concern, if you have something, please, you know, talk to security. My office is right off the library. And so it's not there just for decoration. It's there so that I'm available. So please stop by, check in, say hi. Just be a part of that circle because we welcome it. Also, I would encourage students to put security dispatch number in their phone, 964-6500.
515-964-6500, correct.
Put that in your phone, and that is our dispatch phone number. And so if there's anything, even if you're in the parking lot or something, you know, call that number, and they're in touch with our officers within seconds. So it's a very valuable number to have.
Amazing. Well, thank you guys for coming. That's all that I would have.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Urban Vibe podcast. All the resources referenced in the podcast will be linked on the Urban Vibe website.